Appendix A, Joint Air Ground Integration Center Procedures. JAGIC processes and procedures. This appendix identifies some JAGIC processes and procedures that may assist the units with developing battle drills and checklists. Units are responsible, however, for developing TACSOPs and battle drills. TACSOP development. Establishment of relationships with Army and Air Force optimize the JAGIC's collaboration and functionality. The details for procedures or complex steps each crew member or duty position consistently performs must be documented and standardized between services and shifts. The JAGIC members work together to provide the JAGIC chief the right decisions in a minimum amount of time. All crew members have execution tasks necessary to rapidly implement those decisions. It is highly recommended that units incorporate the use of digital tools into JAGIC battle drills and provide systems operators proficiency training. Lastly, JAGIC battle drills often become too cumbersome when units attempt to develop standard procedures for every possible contingency or situation. Therefore, units should develop a few basic JAGIC battle drills from which other real situations can deviate. ACM process and ACM conflict resolution. Battalion and brigade staffs develop ACMs that support operations for inclusion into unit airspace plans, the division airspace overlay, and the ACO. No plan is perfect, however, so JAGICs must train to develop unplanned or immediate ACMs to support emerging requirements and changes. This paragraph provides examples of the tasks involved in this process. The Army Airspace Officer, in coordination with the Air Force Airspace Manager, leads this process. The Air Force and Army both have systems and request forms they use to process ACM requests. The key steps in creating or activating an ACM are relatively simple. First, the incoming request is validated and conflicts are reviewed and coordinated. If no conflicts exist, the ACM rec is approved. If a conflict exists, the JAGIC chief and SAD make a decision to accept or reject the requested ACM and notify airspace users. If an ACM is accepted and has a conflict, the owning airspace element is required to provide the JAGIC with a detailed plan on how they will deconflict the ACM, either by time or airspace separation, vertically, laterally, or a combination of both. The ACM is activated and monitored for compliance and is deactivated when no longer required. In the JAGIC, the Air Force Airspace Manager and Army Airspace personnel perform duties next to each other and collaborate, not only on ACM deconfliction, but also on macro-level issues affecting the assigned airspace. The JAGIC controls a large number of assets executing operations in a relatively small area. While this may be the shortest of the JAGIC processes, it is also one of the most important, as airspace deconfliction and integration is a critical factor in reducing fratricide and optimizing the joint kill chain. ACM conflicts can occur in many different circumstances. In most cases, ACM conflicts arise when an airspace user, this can include fires, UAS, manned fixed wing, and rotary wing assets all from joint and unified action partners, enters an ACM without prior approval, or if an aircraft fails to maintain a predetermined altitude or location in an ACA. In either case, the first person observing the conflict must take action to resolve the conflict with the appropriate authority controlling the asset, or the authority controlling that airspace and the ACM. This means the JAGIC acts quickly to resolve observed conflicts. Once an airspace conflict is observed, a procedural controller or Army airspace representative, depending on the service platform, contacts the asset or its controlling agency, for example, an Army UAS or UAS control station, to monitor and resolve the situation. If a procedural controller or Army airspace representative is unable to contact the asset, that controller contacts the CRC, Airborne C2 elements, or subordinate ADM/BAE to contact the asset and resolve the situation. If this conflict occurs due to an interdiction mission or a UAS, the interdiction coordinator or SAD helps resolve the situation. Anyone with a radio who observes an airspace conflict is responsible to act immediately and assist in correcting that conflict. A key enabler for identifying conflicts is an accurate air picture as provided by the AMD element, combined with maintaining and displaying the latest air picture with current and planned ACMs, thus maintaining a current air picture. Call for fire. The execution of fires processes can occur with multiple permutations. In reviewing the call for fire process, The first issue to document is how Calls for Fire enter the JAJIC. Previously, Calls for Fire entered the fires element, and organic assets were reviewed in order to determine the level of effect and weapon required to execute against the target. Using the JAJIC, the positions extracted from the current Army fire cell will reside in JAJIC. These positions, FSO, Targeting Officer, and Fire Support NCO, will support execution against targets on the battlefield. Calls for fire come in from various external sources, including BCT FSEs, JTACs, intelligence sources, and other locations. Once a request is received, the Fire Control NCO is the first person to process the request. The Fire Control NCO transmits the target to the targeting officer or representative, who analyzes the target, verifies target data, validates the target, and performs target development, including weaponeering, collateral damage estimation, and target number assignment. The next portion of the Call for Fire process requires further explanation. The JAJIC concept brings together co-located Army and Air Force personnel to form an integrated center. Co-location in the JAJIC, not just in the same command post, provides enhanced opportunities for joint fires. Targets entering JAJIC, regardless of type, are reviewed jointly. Units then use the appropriate weapon against the target. The JAJIC makes it possible to immediately use tactical aircraft if they are best suited to create the desired effect. As a request comes into JAJIC, the JAJIC chief can make an immediate decision on the best and most efficient weapon to use against the target. Next, the targeting officer or representative reviews available attack options. The ATM reviews potential air attack assets to use against the target. As the targeting officer and ATM review target options, other actions occur. The ASOC intelligence officer or technician views the target area to search for threats to friendly aircraft. The aviation officer provides assessments of weapons impacts to Army aviation assets in the target area. The AMD officer reviews the impact to ongoing air defense artillery activity in the target area, and the Army airspace personnel and Air Force airspace manager review airspace availability. If the element requesting fires has requested fires outside of their area of operations, the JAJIC should coordinate within the COIC to ensure there are no conflicts with units on the ground. Additionally, the fire cell must ensure that the target does not violate any fire support coordination measures. Furthermore, JAJIC members assist the COIC with identifying any mission impacts to the area of operations and required ground clearances. Once the JAJIC members review all available information, the SAD and targeting officer discuss targeting options with the JAJIC chief. If the JAJIC chief decides the best attack option is an air asset, this process will proceed as either a CAS, an AI, a SEED, or a target of opportunity mission based on target type. If surface fires are selected against the target, the first step is to deconflict airspace. Mission information is passed digitally and includes a graphically depicted munition flight path, MFP, an associated artillery position area, gun target line orientation, and maximum ordnance of the likely munition. During assessment of this fire mission, the Army and Air Force airspace managers create or activate required ACMs. Once the JAJIC has deconflicted airspace users, the airspace team delivers a digital or verbal response to the Fire Control NCO and the JAJIC chief. With a JAJIC chief's order, the Fire Control NCO transmits the fire command to the executing fires unit and supervises its execution until complete. Tactical level resources conduct battle damage assessment as soon as practicable and report it to all JAJIC members for situational awareness on the target. The next step in this process is deactivating ACMs put in place to support the mission, unless the JAJIC chief, following the battle damage assessment, anticipates another iteration of the process. The call for fire process is continual and iterative. The JAJIC chief ends the mission only after it meets criteria from the commander's intent and scheme of fires. Close air support request. The execution of CAS requests can occur with multiple permutations. Requests for CAS can come from several sources, echelons, and nodes. Most CAS requests come via the JARN from JTACs, Operational Detachment Alpha Teams, or Joint Fires Observers at Brigade or Battalion Echelons. These teams use either the TACP CAS, High Frequency Communications, Tactical Satellite Communications, Voice or Chat applications. The process begins when the JARNO receives the request, assigns a target number, and verbally announces receipt of the request. The next steps in the process occur simultaneously as JAGIC members execute normal duties. The ASOC intelligence duty technician checks the target area for threats to airborne platforms. If threats are found, the ASOC intelligence duty technician alerts the SAD and recommends a seed mission be executed, either by field artillery fires or through coordination with the Joint Air Operations Center. If seed is required, JAGIC participants involved in a CAS request will continue coordination actions to ensure a mission is available once seed is complete. The fire cell is responsible for ensuring any requested fires do not violate established fire support coordination measures. Additionally, if the CAS request targets a location that is not in the requester's area of operations, the fire cell will coordinate with the COIC to deconflict ground units. Army fires personnel in the JAGIC, primarily the targeting officer's representative and the fire support NCO, coordinate for an initial determination as to whether or not surface fires are an attack option. They also work with the aviation LNO to determine if Army aviation is an available and practicable alternative to the CAS request. Similar to the call for fire process, JAGIC provides the capability to review all potential attack options prior to the execution of a CAS mission. In most cases, the JAGIC will execute a CAS mission, as surface fires would have been used if available in brigade or battalion areas. However, there are times at the division level when field artillery fires is an acceptable attack option and should be used instead of CAS. The JAGIC Chief, SAD, and ADIM work closely together in determining what air assets should be used as the attack option. The ADIM checks for available aircraft resources and coordinates with the SAD. In some instances, the JAGIC Chief may determine the CAS request to be a higher priority than existing missions, and the SAD will reassign an aircraft. Concurrent with the determination of air asset availability is the JAGIC Chief and SAD's decision to select either an Army or air component resource as the attack option. In some cases, the decision may be delegated to the SAD. If CAS is selected, the SAD informs the JARNO to send the approval message back to the requester, the ADIM tasks the asset, and Army and Air Force airspace managers determine if ACMs are required. If an ACM is required, Army airspace personnel and the Air Force airspace manager create and distribute the ACM. The SOF Fires Liaison Officer verifies locations of any special operations elements near the target area and alerts them of incoming fires. The component liaisons, if any, do the same. If the JAGIC Chief selects surface fires, the Chief notifies the Fire Control NCO, who enters the data into the fire direction system, checks for airspace conflicts, and transmits the fire mission to the appropriate firing unit or units. When possible, the JAGIC should attain an accurate characterization of detected objects in the operational environment sufficient to support an engagement decision. This process, called combat identification, is further discussed in JP3-09. A procedural controller assumes control of the aircraft from the CRC or AWACS and provides the aircrew with updates on the tasking, targets, and transit instructions. The procedural controller then instructs the aircraft to contact the JTAC for mission execution. The JTAC provides a CAS mission briefing, as required, and provides final control of the CAS aircraft. Upon exiting the target area, the CAS aircraft submits an in-flight report to the JTAC controlling the CAS mission and the procedural controllers in the JAGIC. The in-flight report is submitted to the ASOC intelligence officer or technician and the JARNO. Finally, if ACMs were activated, the Army airspace personnel or the Air Force airspace manager deactivate the ACMs. Interdiction. The JAGIC executes dynamic interdiction missions differently depending on the target type, location, and priority. Deliberate interdiction missions are normally pre-planned and executed at either the JAOC level for JFAC selected targets or at the Army component fire cell. For immediate interdiction requests, the JAGIC supports prosecution in support of the JAOC or, as requested, in support of the division commander in the area of operations. Interdiction is an action to divert, disrupt, delay, or destroy the enemy's military surface capability before it can be used effectively against friendly forces or to otherwise achieve objectives. JP3-03. In most instances, requests for immediate interdiction missions are sent to the division staff from brigade-level forces or identified through use of information collection platforms controlled by the JFAC or division. Once interdiction targets are identified, the division staff, normally the G2 and fires element, initiates coordination with a targeting officer or qualified representative within the JAJIC. The targeting officer and the interdiction coordinator begin analyzing the target by reviewing target type, location, and proximity to ground forces. They discuss potential organic fires at the division's disposal to include Army Aviation to execute against the target. The interdiction coordinator then coordinates with the SODO on assets available to the JFAC to execute the mission and discusses potential use of Army surface fires. Prosecution of interdiction targets is normally a JFAC-supported mission. This means the JFAC has ownership of the mission and decides if air assets will support the request. If the JOC determines it has available assets to support the request, the senior offensive duty officer tasks the mission and accepts ownership and responsibility for the target. If the JOC cannot execute against the target, the interdiction coordinator reviews other options. During the decision process for target prosecution, the ASOC intelligence officer or technician analyzes the threat to air component assets and relays the results to the interdiction coordinator. The AMD personnel monitor enemy air threats with the potential to affect the interdiction mission, and the ADEM reviews air-to-surface attack options from the current air tasking order, including redirected CAS assets. If the JOC has not taken responsibility for the tasking, the interdiction coordinator and targeting officer inform the SAD of potential attack options and coordinate findings with the JAJIC chief to approve or disapprove recommended attack options. The JAJIC chief, in coordination with the SAD, then selects the attack option. If retasking of a CAS asset is required, the interdiction coordinator informs the JOC and the ADEM. The ADEM selects and tasks the appropriate platform. The ADEM then notifies the ASM and Army airspace personnel to deconflict airspace or activate the control measures required to support the mission. The Army aviation officer notifies adjacent aviation units of the impending interdiction mission or missions. Procedural Controller 1 assumes procedural control of the asset and provides an updated mission brief on threats, locations of friendly forces, aircraft in the area, and other important information. After the target is struck, the ASOC intelligence officer or technician receives the in-flight report from the interdiction coordinator or procedural controller 2. Regardless of the engagement options selected, JAJIC personnel deconflict airspace users and establish and disseminate any required ACMs. The targeting officer coordinates with the airspace element prior to sending an execution of surface fires so that airspace users can be advised. After execution of a fire mission, battle damage assessment is collected, either by forward observers or information collection platforms, and relayed to the JAJIC chief. Once the mission and all engagements are completed, advisories are sent as required, and ACMs are deactivated. Defense. SEED missions are executed differently depending on the target type and priority. In most cases, airborne SEED requests are submitted directly to the JOC for execution and to the JAJIC to support, as required. If the JOC-controlled airborne SEED missions are not available, the JAJIC will consider other attack options in coordination with the JOC. The JAJIC may be called to execute SEED with surface fires or CAS aircraft. The tasks involved in executing SEED missions are similar to those of a surface fires request. SEED targets are identified and enter the JAJIC from sources including the JOC, the G2, JTACs, FSEs, and SOF. Once the target is received, JAJIC members from both services work on attack options. The targeting officer or a qualified representative, working closely with the fire control NCO, performs weaponeering functions to determine if field artillery fires are an acceptable option. The fire cell will also ensure that SEED effects do not violate any FSCMs or pose unacceptable risks to friendly units. The ADEM coordinates with the JOC to determine if air component assets are available or if CAS or other attack options are better suited for the mission. The SAD or JAJIC chief coordinates attack options after internal and external coordination actions are complete. If the JOC designates the JAJIC for mission execution, the targeting officer or representative, or JARNO, assigns a target number, and the Army Airspace Personnel, or the ASM, build and activate ACMs as required. The next step depends on which service provides the attack option. If the JAJIC chief selects a ground attack method, the fire control NCO transmits the mission to the appropriate firing unit and supervises execution until complete. If the Jagic Chief selects an air attack method, the ATOM tasks an asset and receives the battle damage assessment either through in-flight reports or information collection sources. Once the mission is complete, Army Airspace Personnel or the ASM deactivates required ACMs. Attack targets of opportunity. Jagic executes target of opportunity missions differently depending on the target type and priority. A target of opportunity is a Joint Force Commander validated target or set of targets requiring immediate response because it is a highly lucrative, fleeting target of opportunity, or it poses or will soon pose a danger to friendly forces. The JFC designates targets of opportunity and identifies them in the JFC's concept of operations and scheme of fires. The JFC's objectives and guidance set the procedural framework for components to expedite target of opportunity engagements. Components establish planned and reactive procedures for attacking prioritized targets of opportunity. In most cases, targets of opportunity require immediate responses because they are highly lucrative, fleeting targets of opportunity which pose a direct danger to friendly forces. The criticality of targets of opportunity generally requires them to be planned in advance. Staffs plan expected locations for acquisition, sensors, triggers, attack options, and prospective effects. With adequate planning and rehearsals, a specific target can be positively identified and the advance plan reviewed to assure it is still viable. Once the plan is deemed viable, it is quickly executed with the aforementioned planned assets. There are occasions where targets of opportunity are acquired that do not align with previous planning. Rapid execution through alignment of available assets is the key to successfully attacking these targets. The first step in the target of opportunity process occurs prior to execution of combat operations in understanding the JFC's target of opportunity guidance and criteria. This guidance includes engagement authority, coordination, deconfliction, and synchronization procedures. Once established target of opportunity criteria is detected, the G2 and external intelligence assets work to identify threats and make them known to executing agencies. In the case of the Jagic, when a target of opportunity is identified in the division's area of operations by the JTAC, Joint Fires Observers, or other means, the Jagic has the responsibility to use available ground or air assets to attack the target. If unable, the Jagic should coordinate with the JOC Dynamic Targeting Cell, or JFC Designated Target of Opportunity Entity, to have the target serviced. The JOC Senior Operations Duty Officer can assign the target of opportunity to the Jagic if it is determined that the division has the most appropriate resources. If the Jagic receives the mission, the process is executed in much the same way as a call for fire or CAS request, except that servicing the target of opportunity is the highest priority. The Targeting Officer, Fire Control NCO, ATOM, and Interdiction Coordinator work to determine available attack options. The Targeting Officer or Qualified Representative conducts weaponeering and assigns a target number. The IDO reviews the target environment looking for potential threats to air platforms. If threats are discovered, the SAD initiates a seed mission. The fire cell ensures that the planned effects do not violate any fire support coordination measures or pose an unacceptable risk to friendly units. Once the SAD or Jagic Chief have a full understanding of the target and have determined attack options, they notify the Jagic of their intent and initiate the actions necessary to execute the mission. Army Airspace Personnel, or the ASM, then review the airspace requirements for the mission and create required ACMs. If surface fires or Army Aviation was selected, the Fire Control NCO transmits the mission to the Division Firing Unit or the Army Aviation Liaison Officer assigns attack aviation. Both then work with intelligence personnel to conduct battle damage assessment after mission execution. If the Jagic Chief selects an air asset, the ATOM tasks the aircraft and receives battle damage assessment either through in-flight reports or information collection sources. Once the mission is completed, Army Airspace Personnel, or the ASM, deactivates the ACM or ACMs. Combat Identification and Friendly Force Identification. This process was developed due to enhanced adversary capabilities in using UAS for information collection and attack missions. Development of capabilities to track and positively identify these types of threats is underway in the joint community. While not a function or an operation of the Jagic, combat identification is identified as a Jagic-supported process. AMD forces react automatically to target theater ballistic missile threats. When a sensing node detects a launch, a notification is immediately displayed on the AMDUs and distributed throughout the Mission Command Network to all aircrews and ground forces. Upon detection of unidentified targets, the first step is to determine whether the target is friendly, hostile, or neutral. Once the target is determined hostile, using a combination of cooperative and non-cooperative target recognition techniques, JAGIC personnel determine what the adversary asset is through the AMD system's architecture. Once the threat is confirmed, the Air Defense Artillery Fire Coordination Officer, typically assigned to the Army Air Missile Defense Command Headquarters, provides direction to defeat the threat. If an engagement must occur through division airspace, airspace element personnel deconflict and advise airspace users. Typically, air defense engagements have priority over most other ongoing missions. JAGICs activate required ACMs immediately and rapidly clear engagement airspace, allowing systems to defeat enemy air threats. Upon destruction of the enemy threat or its departure from division-assigned airspace, airspace element personnel make the appropriate advisories and deactivate ACMs as required. Call for defensive counter-air without established track. The JAGIC executes the call for DCA mission differently depending on whether a threat track is established or not. When a threat or unknown aircraft is detected, both the AMD officer and NCO in the JAGIC are notified. These individuals ensure the Air Defense Artillery Fire Control Officer, a DAFCO, is co-located with the SADC or RADC and is aware of the threat. The ADAFCO is responsible for updating the SADC or RADC as required. The AMD officer must be prepared to recommend the best resource to track, identify, and engage the threat aircraft. If the SADC or RADC determines that joint assets will have the greatest effectiveness, the JAGIC AMD officer or NCO coordinates with the SADC or RADC using the ADAFCO. As stated in Chapter 3, while the AMD officer in the JAGIC does not have the same authorities as the ADAFCO, the AMD officer is responsible for involving the division command post in a support role for the joint kill chain, especially for enemy threats operating in or above division-assigned airspace. Although this procedure may be used to call for DCA for manned aircraft, a threat may be a low, slow, small UAS. Small UAS are a concern to ground maneuver commanders due to their ability to interfere with operations and the challenges they present to systems in terms of detection, tracking, identification, and engagement. Once ground forces are aware of an unknown or hostile UAS, the JAGIC determines the best resources to track, identify, and, if necessary, engage the UAS. When friendly forces observe an unknown aircraft and submit a spot report, JAGIC personnel immediately forward this report to the AMD officer in the JAGIC. Upon receipt of the spot report, the AMD officer inputs the enemy aircraft coordinates into the FAD-C2 system and notifies the ADA-FCO. Simultaneously, the targeting officer or qualified representative, ADAM, and aviation liaison officer collaborate to determine what organic assets are available and can most effectively identify and engage the UAS. The Fire Control NCO, Army Airspace Officer, and Air Force ASM assess the impact of DCA operations on fires and begin planning to integrate defensive counter-air aircraft and fires and deconflict other airspace users as required. The AMD officer recommends to the JAGIC chief and SAD either Army or joint DCA assets to identify and engage a UAS. If organic assets are chosen, the JAGIC chief will coordinate this action with the COIC chief of operations. If the JAGIC chief and SAD choose joint assets, the SAD and ADAM determine if CAS assets are available to support DCA operations. If assets are not available, the SAD requests DCA assistance from the SADC or RADC and then notifies the JAGIC chief and COIC what assistance is available. If CAS assets are available, the SAD will coordinate with the CAS duty officer at the JAOC to retask the assets to perform DCA. If the JAGIC has been delegated the authority to dynamically retask assets to DCA, the JAGIC will inform the CAS duty officer and senior air defense officer of any retaskings. Once the JAGIC chief approves using CAS assets, the ADAM and procedural controllers 1 or 2 task the joint assets and pass control to the SADC, RADC, or appropriate air battle management center or platform for the identification and engagement of the target. As required, the fire support officer clears fires, The Air Force Airspace Manager and Army Airspace Officer coordinate airspace using either ACMs or near real-time airspace control. The SAD coordinates these actions with the SADC or RADC. Throughout this process, the AMD officer provides continual UAS position updates to Army and Theater Air Defense Forces. Call for defensive counter-air with established track. When an air defense asset has detected a threat aircraft and has established and is maintaining a track on it, the AMD officer notifies the ADAFCO of the threat aircraft. The ADAFCO then notifies the SADC or RADC. If the track can be integrated into the SADC or RADC COP, the AMD officer will not be required to provide continuous track updates. If the track cannot be maintained or cannot be integrated with the SADC or RADC, the AMD officer provides continuous updates to the ADAFCO. The JADC chief and SAD collaborate and determine whether division or joint assets will be most effective to identify and engage the aircraft. If joint assets are used, the JADC chief and SAD consider and coordinate airspace and fires with the SADC or RADC. Medevac, personnel recovery, and downed aircraft. During large-scale combat operations, the JADC will have responsibilities concerning integration of airspace users to facilitate subordinate brigades' responses to contingencies. When there are requirements for a ground or air medevac, isolated service member, or downed aircraft, manned or unmanned, the JADC may have to build the control measures required to deconflict fires and maneuver forces. Furthermore, the JADC will be responsible for retasking assets to meet the commander's intent for allocation during any of the above-mentioned events.